Blog Talk Radio.
The future.
Radio. PJ.
Digital X.
Mucha no churim. Mwa full of entertainment. Kufiachi temiko. Muri weta mwa commitment. One is on this and a kubanzanga. Chimuchin and a panjaranga. Ufaya fe. The bumper to bumper, the whole country. When I see my say, I have a confundity, I'm a Zambian. Sikumona no more, sikumona no more. Then we back to Gambia, Nale Mandava. From a time inspection, what about the money? The pure mutiny, all the love for your mutiny. Who's saying it's a minute under? It's a minute, it's a minute under. Who's saying it's a minute?
Good afternoon, this is Tombo Kapulikisha and I am broadcasting live from Bonn, Germany. Welcome to Diaspora Truth. Thank you so much for joining us again. I have a little bit of a cold for all those that listen to this show. You can hear just a little bit of a difference in my voice. But I'm fine. It is nice and sunny here in Germany today. We are ready for the World Cup fever, Germany versus Ghana game. For all of those that are watching the World Cup, today is a very exciting time for Germany and Ghana, for those depending on which team you're supporting. I'm going with Germany. It is the country that I'm living in. But I just might change my mind by the time that the game comes on. So thank you so much for tuning in. Today I'm going to be talking about the role of the Zambian embassies in the diaspora. What are they here for? What do we expect of them? Do we know where they are? What is going on? So I would just like to, you know, give a forewarning that this is going to be a hot discussion. There's been a lot of things that have been said about the Zambian embassy in the diaspora. What do they do? Why are they there? What are they supposed to do? What can we go to them for? What are they there for? A lot of people have complained. I know people here in Germany have talked a lot about, you know, the Zambian embassy. What are they supposed to do? They're not in touch with us. We have no idea. And this is why I decided to have this discussion. So I'd just like to say welcome to all those that are listening. Welcome to all those that are on the line. This is an open discussion. If you would like to contribute, say something about the Zambian embassy in whatever country you're living in, please feel free to press one on your keypad, you know, give us your opinion on what is going on, what you think can be done, what your grievances are, what can we do better. I would really, really appreciate it. So I'm just going to go open the phone lines right now and say a very good afternoon to all those that are listening. Area code 816, last number is 1245. Welcome to Diaspora Truth.
Good morning, good afternoon, Flambo. This is
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate that you are here. I'm glad that you're here because I wanted to have somebody that I could sort of bounce ideas off of to compare the different Zambian embassies, you know, in the different countries to see what is being done, what can we do, what are their roles, etc. Now, just to begin, I would just like to, you know, inform people what exactly is an embassy, what's the difference between an embassy and a consulate, you know. What are the definitions? So first of all, an embassy is responsible for representing the home country abroad and handling major diplomatic issues, such as preserving the rights of the citizens abroad. And the consulate just basically deals with, you know, issuing visas and paperwork, things like that. And then if you have the Commonwealth nations, they usually have high commissioners between member countries. That's what the differences are. A consulate is a smaller version of an embassy and is generally located in the larger tourist cities of a country, but not the capital. Usually embassies are located in the capital of the host nation. Now, just to give a little bit of information about the embassy of the Republic of Zambia here in Germany, where I am, the Republic of Zambia has maintained a diplomatic presence in Germany since the early 60s, when the first Zambian embassy was opened here in Bonn, in the city where I live. And in 2002, the mission was moved to Berlin following the relocation of the German seat of the government from Bonn to Berlin after the German reunification. So Bonn used to be the capital of Germany, and it was moved to Berlin. And so the embassy of Zambia also moved then to Berlin. And so it is located in the middle of the city, and, you know, it has a website. It's www.zambianembassy.de. And we have an ambassador here, and his name is Honorable Chite. You can find all this information on the website. And I'm glad to say that the website, from the last time that I had looked, has really, really been revamped, and I'm very, very happy about that. It looks very modern. You can go to this website and register as a Zambian citizen. You need to register so that they know that you are here. When I first came here about 4 years ago, their website did not look like this. I wrote them an email, and I never heard back from them, and that was one of my grievances about the Zambian embassy here, was that I thought that I couldn't get in touch with them for any reason at all. Now, I would like to ask you, Ms. Lucas, is this the same for the Zambian embassy in the U.S.? Do you get to the U.S. and then you immediately register?
This is something that the embassy is doing now. They have reached out to both of us in the diaspora so that we have a positive working relationship. We didn't used to register, and a lot of us haven't registered. So this is something new that they are encouraging. I'm sure registration has always been there, but not so much courage. It was information that you really had to search for. You should have had full knowledge about that. Like you, you know, as you have mentioned, the website for your embassy has really revamped. The same goes here. We also, for a long time, those of us in the American diaspora had all kinds of complaints about the embassy, what they were doing, what they were not doing, information not being available, and so on. But now the relationship has changed. The website is very informative. You can find a lot of information there. You can call the embassy and get responses, and people will follow up. Sometimes it may take some days, but even weeks, but they are much more responsive than they were before. So we're seeing something new. But when it comes to registration, we are beginning to register ourselves. We're working with the embassy very closely on that.
Now, I would like to just point out that it is very important for the purpose of emergencies and normal exchange of information on developments in Zambia or anything that needs to be done for you whilst you are here, in whatever country you are in the diaspora, it is important for you to register. And I would encourage everyone to go ahead and go to the, you know, Zambian embassy website of whatever country you are in, and just go ahead and register for emergency purposes, for whatever may come up. It is very important that the embassy in the country that you're in knows that you are there. Now, while I was, you know, preparing for this show, I started looking at what the role of embassies and consulates abroad is, and I decided to compare, you know, what their roles are and if this is actually being done. So some of these were a little bit, you know, enlightening for me, and I thought, wow, this would be great if our embassy actually does do this. So how can an embassy or a consulate help you? So first of all, if they have your contact information, they can give you immediate updates regarding emergencies such as safety warnings, natural disasters, you know, in your area, depending on where you live. Your embassy is supposed to let you know of incoming storms, tornadoes, etc. You are supposed to hear from your embassy and how they can help get you to safety. This is one. Two, if you are a victim of a crime, they can help you obtain medical treatment, file police. Yourself, depending on what the situation is. And I think this is especially important for a lot of the young people, especially in Russia. I'm going to come to that in, you know, as we go on later. And three, they can explain how the local legal system works and provide a list of local attorneys. So your Zambian embassy abroad is supposed to provide you with the list of local attorneys and lawyers that can help you with the local legal system. They're supposed to teach you how everything works. They can provide a list of nearby doctors and hospitals. They can pass messages from parents to students, depending on what is going on. If a student is here in Germany and they have no way of reaching their parents in Zambia, it is the role of the Zambian embassy here to get in touch with their students. And they can pull up electronic passport records, and they can facilitate a transfer of funds. They cannot, though, get you out of jail. They cannot act as a lawyer on your behalf. They cannot provide medical treatment or supply prescriptions. They cannot exchange money. They cannot serve as a travel agency, and they cannot receive or send mail on behalf of an individual. They can pass on a message, but they cannot take something from you and then send it to Zambia. So in light of all of these that I've shared, Mrs. Lucas, is this something that has come as a surprise to you?
You know, if you had asked me this question 3 months ago, yes, it had been surprising. We recently had a meeting with Ambassador Mulonda and the representatives from the embassy. So we were enlightened of some of these things. But for a long time, yeah, I'll share with you. I think when there was that threat, Korea wanted to attack America, and, you know, it was all over the media. We actually got a text message from the embassy to say, you know, they will provide transportation for us, or we need to report to the embassy in case of an attack. Surprisingly and disappointingly, everybody took it as a joke. I mean, not like a joke as in what resources does the government have to evacuate us? Do they even know who's here and so on? But, you know, it was something very serious. The embassy was doing something. They were acting in their role. But we, the recipients, were not taking it serious. But as we've been working with the embassy, we are encouraging people in various states to begin registration. The states that have associations, we're encouraging them to at least let their association representatives know that they are here. They have also people who are skeptical. Why are we registering? You know, if I'm not on a legal basis, probably this is information they're getting about me to have me, you know, deported. So it's a lot of work, but the embassy is working very hard here to make sure that we're registered. They're also encouraging people a lot of people register when they come travel on business purposes, but those of us who came here on our own free will did not register and need to. So.
Okay, now I would just like to go to Canada with Mr. Charlie. I would like to find out from him if he is in touch. Mr. Charlie, good morning. Are you in touch with the Zambian Embassy in Canada?
I would say yes and no. Yes, I think two months ago or a month ago, I called. And guess who answered? It was the ambassador. Some Luvali name, strangely enough. So we talked for a little bit, and I even extended the invitation to come. He actually invited me to attend the independence celebrations, and maybe from there we can pick up stuff. So in that sense, I have been. To what you are talking about, I know when Ambassador Mumba was here, we were very much in contact. When he arrived, he even addressed us on Zambia Block Talk Radio across Canada. He was quite very involved. He wanted to be involved. So in that sense, I've been. Now, to the extent that have I registered or have I been proactive being part of it, I think as we go, we are going to, you know, some of us are quite political, stuff which has gone on. I think the politics have gone so much into our embassies. It is now beginning to push away people, if you like. But we'll discover that some of the things which may have kept us. So I've been in touch with our embassy, in short, yes.
Okay, so now, you know, as Ms. Lucas has said, people usually have a fear of registering, saying, oh, they'll be monitoring us, they're going to be looking at everything that I'm doing. Where do you think this fear comes from? Does this fear come from experiences that the older generation may have had, say, in the Kaunda era? I mean, you hear all these stories about the shoes and all this other stuff. Is this where this fear comes from? Why are we afraid of registering at our own country embassies in our host countries? Why do you think that is?
In United States, in my view, I don't know if this is where it all comes from, but in United States, some people may not be living in the United States legally.
Right.
And giving away any kind of information sometimes makes people vulnerable to that kind of, feeling. To say maybe my information will be given away, these people talk to U.S. government, or who knows, this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Are those fears founded? Maybe not. Maybe they are not founded. But I guess the embassies themselves, most of them have not been very proactive reaching out to members of the diaspora, so to say, don't worry about this. These fears, I've got no grounds at all. Don't worry about it. But very, very, very few. It's been almost 2 years since the PF have been in government. The man came to Ottawa. He has sat there. In my view, he has not made even any effort. Where are my people? He has not made that effort. So, yes. The fears are there, but they are, in my view, they are unfounded. Our people, our embassies, doing enough to reach to their people? No. And we are going to discover as we talk why these people, they should be making that effort.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you talk about...
I just wanted to tag on to the question you asked. Mr. Charlie, where these fears come from. I think it is, it does stem a lot from how we grew up, you know, that fear of you cannot trust the government. They are maybe working against you when in fact they are trying to help you. So I think it does come from that generation.
Okay, so now, you know, Mr. Charlie has mentioned the fact that the embassies are not doing enough to reach out to its people, and this was one of the issues that I had with the Zambian embassy here in Germany, was that I, of my own accord, reached out and I sent them an email when I first got here saying, this is who I am, this is my passport number, I am in this city, you have nothing on the website for me to register, but I'm going ahead and I'm letting you know that I'm here. And, you know, even if they didn't have the new website back then, I was expecting some sort of response. Okay, your email has been received, and to this day, nothing like that has happened. So I'm glad to see that now they have, you know, the new website and I can go on and register myself. But I would like to see them be a little more proactive, like the Zambian embassy in the U.S., which now has a Facebook page. And, you know, you can have the ambassador go on there and write a few things. I think that is one way that the embassies in the diaspora can reach out to people and say, this is what we're doing. You know, these are the events that we're having. Because for me, if I'm getting any information from Zambians in Germany, I get the information from a Facebook group that the Zambians themselves have created on Facebook that has nothing to do with the embassy. And that is how I get information, and that's mostly about, you know, Independence Day celebrations, etc. And that's a shame, because usually when we have these situations, for example, if somebody has unfortunately passed away and people are needing help or somebody is ill, you know, we don't know where each person lives. We need to work together to help each other. How do you think we can get in touch with the embassies? How can we motivate them to want to get in touch with their people, to work together? How can we do that? Mr. Charlie, could you answer that question for us?
A lot can be done. Again, why embassies? And you explained it very well, Twambo. We are all over the place. Some people in Missouri, some people in Texas, some people, but our embassy doesn't move and has one address, which is in Washington, which is in Ottawa, which is in London. So that is the focal point, if you like, where everyone can. So having that central place, having that central focal point, should be able to work as an attraction. Members of the diaspora should be able to contact them. So, in my view, first and foremost, the Zambian embassy should be proactive. The diaspora ourselves, we the diaspora, I think should be proactive as well in trying to reach out to our embassy. The only problem we are going to discover is sometimes it doesn't seem it is useful even to make that effort to mm-hmm. reach out to them. But we can and we should make that effort. I was explaining while your line went away, Twambo, that the mm-hmm. embassies are the only focal. You know, you may know me, but how many people know me? You know, only four people, Titus here, Miss Lucas, and you, Twambo. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we all know where the embassy is. That's our focal point. And for having that, you know, first point of contact, that is very important. That is number one. Number two, it is us now to make that effort. We can, and we mm-hmm. and we should find a way. But I don't know if that answers the question. How can we make it easy for them? I think we should be more proactive. That's what I would say. I'll wait to hear from what others have to say. But that mm-hmm. is what we have. We have to be more proactive reaching out to them. Now, we've been disappointed before, and that's why people don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
How can we change things? That would be a big question.
Just to add on that, Charlie, like, it is a two-way street. We have to be proactive. But I think, you know, I can tell you what was our problem here in the U.S. We kept on saying it's the role of the embassy to find us, to know where we are and so on, for a long time, you know, and we were just hard to work with. But this is a two-way street. Most of us came here on our own will. We did not come here on a government-assigned job or, you know, on business. Those who did it that way registered through the embassy. The embassy knows such and such business or person are here for X amount of time. But those of us who just came here for whatever reason, we didn't register. But it mm-hmm. took us sitting down with the embassy to say, we have to let them know because they have no idea that we are here. So mm-hmm. The embassy has to be, in whichever country, has to be patient with us, but we also have to take responsibility. We like mm-hmm. things to be done for us, but we don't want to assume the responsibility to say, I also have to play this role for this to work for me. Mm-hmm. And I hope it will change for you in Germany. It looks very positive here in the U.S. I hope mm-hmm. things change too, actually, in Canada. But mm-hmm. Ambassador Mulon is doing a great job, him and his team, so I commend him for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the roles of the embassies was to, you know, bring about good relations between the host country and, so for example, Zambia and Germany, and to sort of boost the image of Zambia in Germany here. Would you say that the Zambian embassy in the U.S. or in Canada is doing a good job of showcasing Zambia to that country? Do you ever hear of the Zambian embassy, you know, having some sort of function or showcasing Zambian foods or, you know, some sort of advertising for the country? Does this ever happen on your end of the world?
I would say no, but those who are closer to the embassy, those who live near New York, those in Washington, Maryland, and so on, they mm-hmm. seem to have a better working relationship with them, better access, and they know a lot of things that's happening. Those of us who are so far removed either don't get to hear about it or get to hear about it later. So mm-hmm. we did voice that complaint to them. If mm-hmm. the people in New York, Connecticut, Maryland, and so on have that kind of access and that positive working relationship, would like that reflected. So mm-hmm. in terms of some kind of promotion on Zambia, I haven't heard of anything like that other than an independence celebration, but I would say no.
Okay. Now, I would just like to go to another caller, area code 612, last number 5190. Please go ahead with your comment for our discussion today. Are you happy with the role of the Zambian embassy where you're living?
Yes, so this is Titus Matala. I haven't had any problem with the embassy. I would like to just add up. I don't know. I'm on my own. These are my own comments. I've been proactive myself. I don't wait for them to find me or anything like that. But I've seen a lot of things that they come in handy. One is the association presidents or people, they know about this. Anytime somebody dies and you have to repatriate a body, that's the time people have to understand that somehow you need some clearance because these things are done from funeral home to another funeral home, the receiving funeral home, transit funeral home, things like that based on the air. So this is, I would like to emphasize that this is a part that somebody feels, well, I don't need them, or you're hiding, whatever the case is, what situation you're in. But you can't hide anymore. If you die, you have to repatriate the body of somebody who was either illegally or whatever. Then you got to check with the embassy. Sometimes they are blamed or they couldn't help me, but they don't know who you are. They don't know whatever.
Right.
So I think I would still advise to say just be proactive, especially the people that are okay, or find out. Another thing with the embassy in Washington I would like to add is that most people don't know. They've been there, but sometimes they don't check. It would be nice for the embassy in Washington to advise people, especially from the direction of even real estate. I would like to advise you that the Zambian embassy, where it sits in Washington, it is one of the embassies that I know of. I don't know about Germany there, which is the building owned by Zambia. So we should be able to be proactive in terms of finding out what does real estate help you, what credit can we do, and all those kind of things around real estate. If you check the history of McDonald's and stuff, this is what they do a lot. And so I would say maybe the embassy is not doing too much to advise the Zambians about the real estate industry in the United States. It should be the number one that can advise even a Zambian who lives here to say, I think there's a light into buying a house. Or maybe two Zambians are renting two apartments, luxury apartments, maybe buy a house. We talk about diaspora business groups and stuff like that. You know, two Zambians can get along who believe in each other and buy a house. That's where the embassy can come in to tell you, shed more light on what is the advantage of the two Zambians buying a house in DC area as opposed to renting a house and you've been here for 10 years.
Right.
So
you're saying that the Zambian embassy has been really helpful and that it is Zambians themselves that need to be a little more proactive in getting in touch with them?
I would say that from my experience, it's now that I've shed the light, some people who didn't know that Zambian embassy in Washington, that building is owned by Zambia, is to find out more. And especially when you're talking all these independent celebrations, most of the association presidents, they know about this. Where Matilda, we were in Tampa, you know, she knows more about the Holiday Inn Express. How much money did we pay for the building to just host a dinner, which ends up hosting a dinner for the Zambia national team? You're talking plus 2,000 and things like that. And then you go to the pockets of the community, whatever state you're in. You're having some difficulties into how to get around that. But I would like to just share more to say we should be proactive in Washington, D.C., where we could hold most of the functions at the embassy with the approval of whoever it needs to approve. But at least that's a free place where you can do some function of the kind with their knowledge, where you don't have to cough in $2,000, $3,000. You can do something for the whole weekend, you know, in terms of either promoting Zambia or just getting to know. Let's not wait for independence celebration, which is sometimes has a lot of negative connotations where somebody doesn't even want to go for celebration. So, just as I said, we both have to push in efforts in terms of even going to the embassy, suggesting an idea that you're having, and them also following up on the idea and availing the venue to be available for such kind of things. I don't see why we don't have an annual thing at the embassy, or whatever can be the case, whether tourism day or whatever. I'm sure, like what Matilda said, there's so many things happening in Washington that some of us are too far out, we may not know about it. Then secondly, if you're proactive with the embassy, situations like when I was going for my late dad's funeral, because I know people at the embassy, I can call ahead of time, I find everything kind of almost ready. Maybe somebody might be able to do something on the weekend if he's picking up a paper that is needed to do something as we're on transit into Zambia or whatever. Those kind of things become handy, and sometimes, I don't know, it's a problem that happened, but I see it as something that is, you don't wait until there's a problem, then you blame them more. Because right now, if you don't have a good interaction with the embassy, let alone you have death of whatever, your mother, your father, and then maybe they died out of the country, then you're trying to go through the embassy. You talked about the email not being answered, things like that. But you can have personal emails. I mean, I myself had personal emails of attachés there. You know, I can still get hold of Inongeli Mbambala, who's no longer anything there, but he was economic secretary. He can give you more advice on certain things. So that's what I'm saying, that just the proactiveness of knowing nearly everybody. I mean, Roger, we didn't get a chance to meet. By the way, I could be able to meet quite a few people that I met at in Las Vegas for the mini AGOA. Then I met the whole crew from the embassy in Washington, in Zambia, when they were at the AGOA in Lusaka. Mm-hmm. And I say they're working very hard, but again, I can report that there was some experience of knowing more of what to do and what to expect from the mini AGOA that we did in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So again, the embassy had a way to, you know, acknowledge what the work we did as a separate thing. Most likely, and mostly Zambia Block Talk Radio pulled a bigger part. I remember Nathan sometimes complaining about phone calls past 10 o'clock, people just trying to find out about AGOA and talking about why don't you call the embassy. Of course, 10 o'clock p.m., the embassy is closed. So those are some of the things that the embassy knew very well that we went out of, you know, our own round.
Out of your own way.
Help out, and that's an initiative. But we need to follow up on these things. Whatever we did, the ambassadors that knew about that is the other ambassador, Mrs. Siwela, who's not there. We had Palam Londa now, who we should talk more. And the more we know, I think the more we can do better.
Right.
We are losing out. I mean, the ambassador for right now used to be the head of Ziali. I don't know if you know Ziali. That's where the lawyers, after the finish at Yunza, they have to do 1 year at Ziali to get into the board, you know.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I would like to get some more opinions from some of the other listeners. I'm going to go to area code 913, last numbers 2282. Welcome to the show. Please give us your opinion or your comments about the Zambian embassies and diaspora. Are you happy with the job that they're doing, and what do you think should be done?
Hello, my name is Zebron. I think the Zambian embassy used to have a very negative opinion way back. And then I think they've improved tremendously. And it's sad that a lot of people still think of a Zambian embassy from the old age. But I think the new Zambian embassy that came in a few years ago has been doing a lot of work to improve the image. I'm sure the people that have been to the Zambian embassy recently can attest to that the Zambian embassy has really been doing a great job lately. For some of us, I remember very well when we had in Kansas City, when we had a Zambian organization called Zamoka. I think it was in 2009 when we were just picking up right there. I was in the project by then, so we had an opportunity because we had Mr. Felix Mutati. I think he was coming from China. He went to D.C., so he was visiting a few places. So we requested that he stops by Kansas City because he had a delegation in China. They were like, he was in commerce by then, so they were like, you know, marketing and stuff. So we actually asked the embassy to see if they can stop by Kansas City, you know, and stuff like that. And for sure they came. So, you know, we had an opportunity to meet Ben Kangwa in Kansas City. They came at the Marriott downtown Kansas City, and Marjorie, and then ambassador herself, Mr. Felix Mutati, and then the couple, is it Muzumara? Those guys that Park the Zambian food and export it. I'm sure they're very famous in Zambia. I'm sure you guys know them. I just forgot their names. But, you know, they came in Kansas City. You know, they paid for the hotel. We did not. So, I mean, the Zambian embassy paid for the hotel the whole way. I mean, we had a good time. They brought food and everything. So they're pretty much, like, telling us what to do. You know, the problems that we face here, how we can solve them. The minister was so nice to us, Mr. Mutati. That was the first time meeting him face-to-face, having a glass of wine with him, chatting. So, you know, from there, you know, we you know, that's when I realized, like, you know, these people actually, you know, doing so much, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing a lot of good around. Lately, they've been going around to help people, you know, with passports and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So,
now, Zebron, do you think that they're, are you happy with this, but do you think they're like this because they have decided to be this way, or do you think it's because Zambian people themselves stood up and said, we have had enough, we would like the Zambian embassy to be this way, and they had to step up to that level?
I think they had to step up to that level because a lot of people were complaining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, I think it was because after, I think Rupiah Banda changed the ambassador or something. I think since Rupiah Banda came into power, it changed the ambassador during, like, you know, the days of Rupiah Banda. Before Rupiah Banda, during, like, maybe, you know, Manawasa and everything, the Zambian embassy used to be so bad. I mean, they can do much more than what they're doing right now, but right now, you know, you gotta give them, you know, kudos for what they're doing.
Would you like to see them do more of?
You know, My needs, you know, Zambian people have different needs. That's what we have to understand. So if I say, oh, these guys should come and help us get passports, you know, I could be living in a very remote area of the United States where they can't reach me, you know what I'm saying? And someone there also is complaining, like, I wish they could help me with to ship this dead body, or someone has enough money to ship. So we have various needs. So we have pretty much have to identify the basic needs of how they can help us, because they cannot cater to all our individual needs. They're
mm-hmm.
just the embassy. Sometimes we may be asking for too much. You know, like my brother said, oh, they can identify which properties to buy in the United States. You have to know that the Zambian embassy represents Zambia. So when the Zambian embassy represents Zambia, they want you to invest in Zambia, not in the United States of America. So when you buy a property in the U.S., you're pretty much making an investment in the United States. They would advise you to go find a plot in Zambia and start building. That's their job, because they want you to invest all your dollars in Zambia. So asking the Zambian embassy to identify a plot for you to buy in the United States, in Louisville, Kentucky, or whatever, it's not their job, because they'll be doing the United States a favor. So you have to know that their job is make sure that, you know, they try all their best, make sure that, you know, our basic needs are taken care of. But on the other hand, again, you know, I remember the other time Sadiq and the Zambian organization, we're talking about having, like, an insurance so that, you know, when people die, you cannot just be saying, like, oh, if someone die here, or the American embassy has to give them money, or $10,000. Someone dies tomorrow, $10,000. You know that people would be so like, okay, we have an embassy, so if anyone dies, we have the embassy to be taking care of the bills. So that would be a lot of money on taxpayers. So we're even planning that day, like, you know, we can kind of come up with more like an insurance kind of a thing, where you pay someone with insurance, at least you come up with something, and then if you can't cut the rest, you reach out to the Zambian embassy, but you cannot be expecting the embassy to be literally doing everything for you. That's just asking for too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Zebron, for your contribution. Now, I like what he's brought up about taxpayer money, because there was a recent article, well, not recent, it was written in September 2013 in The Diplomat, and the question was, do we still need embassies? And I found this really interesting, because they actually talked about, you know, the fact that we're living in this, you know, world where we've had a global recession, where we have, you know, technology where people can communicate pretty openly without...
Twamba, we've lost you. Mr. Chani, are you there?
Yes, I am. And Twamba is still on. So, okay. I think she has dropped in. She's probably going to come in. Okay, I think it's a very interesting discussion, as you can tell from Zebron and Titus had to say on the role of the embassy. One idea which is also coming to my mind as the two were speaking is that take for instance the Zambian embassy in the United States. they are, in my view, a drop in the ocean as far as the U.S. government is concerned. And where should the resources of the embassy, therefore, where should the energy, therefore, should be directed? In as far as attracting investment, in as far as attracting attention for Zambia should be. The Zambian embassy should, at least in my view, in every country where they are, focus on developing their own people, focusing the enhancing the attraction from the Zambian people. Because in the U.S., Twambo, before you dropped, I was saying, Zambian embassy is just a drop in the ocean. America has to deal with Israel on a daily basis. They're a headache to him. China, those are not people we can even match with. So we should not even be worrying ourselves, oh, we are in America, so that, oh, we can talk to the American government, if they ever even talk to us in 10 years. So the best we can do, every embassy which comes, I think, is to begin to go and organize its highest resource, that is the members of the diaspora. That, to me, should be raw number one. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the Canadian embassy. They don't even want to know the Canadian government. Maybe they want to know, they want to complain about the government in Zambia. That's about it. They are raw. For instance, Twambo, you talked about the embassies when they come. One of the issues they're supposed to do is to take business to Zambia. Let's begin to have a barometer. Let's begin to have a measurement. In 5 years or in 2 years, the ambassador has been in, I remember Dr. Mumba when he was here. He took a delegation to Zambia, a business delegation to Zambia. All the embassies, in 1 year, how many business functions have you organized or tours to take people to Zambia? You'll find the numbers are very, very minimal. Compared to the money we are spending to run these embassies. So one of the things is, okay, number one, you organize companies which are going to go. If you haven't done that, how many members of the diaspora have you convinced to register? Later on, convince them to begin to invest in Zambia. There should be some parameters. Maybe next week, sometime, Twambo, let's find an ambassador who's going to explain to us what they are doing. What parameters are they given to come and achieve when they come? Or they just come and join us to be part of the McDonald's meeting?
You brought up a really good point, Mr. Charlie. As I was saying before I dropped out, that there's this article written in September last year about whether embassies are relevant or not and how much money was being spent on them. And they actually quoted Zambia. This is what I was very surprised about. Because they said, take Zambia, which in 2009 spent around $20 million on its foreign mission. And that is a significant amount. That's a lot of money. $20 million was spent only on its foreign missions. And, yeah, the question would be, for what? What exactly were they doing? You know, general administration, utilities, you know, infrastructure development, things like that. And the question was, are embassies still relevant? Is this money that can just be used for other things in Zambia when we don't even hear from the embassies when we're here anyway? This is the question that I have after reading this. If $20 million was spent in 2009 on Zambian foreign missions all over, then what is the embassy supposed to do for me as I live here? How can I work with the Zambian embassy here to better my country, Zambia? So I think what you brought up, Mr. Charlie, is really relevant. How is the Zambian government working with us? Businesses, education, et cetera. How can we, as well as Zambia, stand up and say, hey, you know, all this money is being spent. Embassy, wake up and do something.
And a good point before Nathan comes in here, a good point. Here in North America, they like to do things in 10 years, in 10 years, in 10 years. So if in 2009 they spent $20,000, you multiply that by 10, okay? We are approaching 50 years Zambia Jubilee, a celebration. We are not even talking about 50 years. Talk about 10 years. How much money is that? 200 million. What can 200 million give us? Or in return, what have the government of Zambia got by spending that kind of money? $200 million in 10 years. What have we got for that money? Huge question.
It's. I think, you know, Tombo, the article you read is very intriguing. And as Vachali said, probably we find somebody from an embassy or an embassy representative to help shed more light, because that is a lot of money. But then when you look at the business aspect of it, run a mini country, because the embassy is representing is Zambia in that country. So we may need to know what that money is going to. But also, I think to help with the image of the embassy and those of us in the diaspora, it would be important to have some kind of recognition of Zambians in these different countries, what they're doing and how they're contributing to the nation. Because as much as the embassy, the government is spending on foreign mission, we, the people in the diaspora, are sending a lot of money back home. You know, I mean, it's not, if we compare ourselves to other African countries, it may not be that significant, but just amongst ourselves, we do send a lot of money back home. So getting that kind of recognition to say we do have a person like Tomboka Pidikisha in Bonn, Germany, she's doing this positive and the embassy actually recognizes you, puts it on a website, that would be encouraging. That would really put a positive light on the embassy.
Ms. Nkama, did you have something to say about our topic today?
Yes, I just wanted to, good morning everybody, good afternoon Tuambo. What I wanted to say is in relation to the point that Roger raised about having one of our ambassadors come on the show. Apparently, we have a scheduled interview, the second one, with His Excellency, Zambia's ambassador to the U.S. for July 13th. He's supposed to come back on the show and discuss a few. I think it would be good and interesting to raise some of these things that we are raising here. Now, I've been thinking about this. The only challenge with July 13th is that's the day the final of the World Cup will be played.
Excellent.
You make a very good point there, yes. That's important information for me, yes.
It is. Roger, I don't know whether it would be a good idea. I know you'll be on the way back home, Roger, but I don't know whether it would be a good idea, Matilda, to have an interview that day, because people will be more concerned with
But what time is the game? I think that would be a bigger question.
Well, does that really matter? Or people who just that's what I was thinking about. I'll look at that. But what I just wanted to mention is that the ambassador, we've got a date with the ambassador on that day. It's actually Sunday evening. The other thing I wanted to mention is something that I've learned from our American friends living in America is that they are taught, there is a way they've been groomed to sort of conduct or carry themselves when they go out of the country. Part of it is because of the way things stand with the United States concerning the outside world, with issues to do with security, terrorism, and all these things. Did you know, Roger, that it's a requirement for every American when they travel out of the country to notify the embassy of the country they've gone to? They do that. This is in relation to Ambo, to the point of, you see, the Zambian embassy particularly, or I don't know about UK, Germany, where you are, Tuambo, here in the States, they've been trying to get people to sort of get Zambians, I'll use the word register, or get registered with the embassy in Washington. Now, why isn't that working? That's a question that people need to ask. I think that's a very important question. Why isn't it working? This thing has been tried so many times.
That is a good question.
For Ambassador Mlonda, go ahead, Tuambo.
Okay, and you know, just to go back on that point, you know, why aren't people registering? I don't know if you were on before when we talked about the fact that people are afraid to do it, people don't want to be tracked, and then you just don't know what the advantages of doing that would be. Why should I register with the embassy? What have they ever done for me? But this is an attitude that we need to leave behind. We need to move forward and work together with the Zambian embassy and as Zambians in whatever country we are and say, okay, this is how things have worked in the past, but now we want something different to go from this time forward. So I think it's important that we do get in touch with, you know, the Zambian embassies in whichever countries we are in, register. It is for our own good. It is also for the good of the embassy that they reach out to us a little more. And if we work together in doing that, I think we can both benefit from, you know, being in touch with each other. Now, just to go back to the amount of money that is being spent, because I really want to drive this point home, you know, in this article that was written, you know, they were talking about the three embassies being in close proximity. So that is Paris, Brussels, and Rome. You know, these are in countries that are pretty much next to each other. And we have one in Berlin as well. And that this would cost a lot of money to do. Now, is it a good idea that Zambia closes some of these embassies, say, in Paris, Brussels, and Rome, and has only one in, say, Berlin here in Germany? Because you do have situations, for example, in Zambia where you don't have an Austrian embassy that people can go to the German embassy and get a visa to go to Austria, working together that way. Is this a good idea for Zambia to take on so that they spend less money abroad?
I think they have started taking that initiative. I think I have a friend who was a diplomat in Asia. She had to be recalled because I think where she was working, that embassy had to close, had to shut down. Mm-hmm. But I think they've been slowly doing that. It's just that we may not know more about it. It's not very visible. In terms of like Brussels, Paris, and where else did you mention?
Rome.
Right. I guess we'd have to look at, you know, how history has played, you know, a role. We'd look at how these places were very important to, you know, during the World Wars, World War One, Two, the Cold War, and so on. A lot is tied into that, but maybe, as you said, untying these things and looking further, looking deeper to see are these things relevant is a point. But I'll let others speak. I still need to process my answer properly. Go ahead.
Mr. Tally, what is your opinion? Should Zambia just go ahead and close some of the embassies that they have in countries, especially like in Europe, that are in close proximity? For example, from Bonn to Brussels, it will take me about an hour and a half, 2 hours to drive there. So there's a Zambian embassy there, and then there's a Zambian embassy in Berlin here within Germany. Do you think that it's relevant for Zambia to have embassies all over the place and spend the money in those places, or should we start to sort of shut down and have regional ones?
Well, if we go to our mass problem, which you brought on the table, Twambo, we evaluate what value is our own embassy. The huge one, the biggest one probably in Washington is bringing. What value is the embassy in Ottawa is bringing on the table? And if these are not providing any returns for our country, I think the answer would be a no-brainer, even to those embassies. Not necessarily because they are even in a close proximity, but because there is just no value addition to our nation. So suppose the two of them, the two of them which are very close to each other, Twambo, every year they are taking 100 businessmen to Zambia. Every year they are taking 100 businessmen to Zambia. Maybe there is no need to close them because the return for the country is higher. But again, going with your question and what you are saying, in most of these embassies, be those in the biggest countries, in Australia, in Japan, anywhere they are, the return on investment we are investing in is very, very low. And therefore, probably there is need to start to evaluate them. Yes, there is need for us to close some of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it, I mean, earlier I mentioned that, you know, and you also mentioned that the Zambian embassy in a country is supposed to promote Zambia. So is that the Zambian embassy here is supposed to promote Zambia in Germany, talk about its tourism, et cetera. And if I have an idea, is my role just supposed to go approach them and say, okay, I have an idea about how we can promote Zambian tourism here in my city in Bonn. Is it their responsibility to just go ahead and jump on, even if I have a good idea? Would you agree that this is what they're supposed to do? Or is this an idea that needs to come from them, then it would be approved? Because according to my thinking, I've always had this, you know, I've always imagined that it would be really hard to get in touch with somebody there. I mean, I'm surprised, Mr. Charlie, that you said you called the Zambian embassy there and the ambassador himself picked up. That's very hard for me to imagine because I'm so used to the bureaucracy that has plagued us as a nation in Zambia, and I'm expecting the same thing to happen here. Are we ready to put away the bureaucracy?
Probably not. Again, Twambo, on your question, are we ready to close some of these embassies? Let's visit some of these embassies. How many people are in these embassies? What do they do? And you are going to be very, very surprised. Some of them show up to work very late. At one point, I went to the Zambian embassy in Washington when I was in the U.S. People were showing up casually, like they were reporting to some office in Lusaka. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now, okay, what kind of feedback are you going to get from people who have that kind of attitude?
Mm-hmm.
The role of the embassy, I think, is very, very clear to everyone who is listening. It's very, very clear. But
mm-hmm.
our embassies have turned into some political idols, so to say, where people are being given these positions as party cadres, when these are supposed to be professionals who are serving these embassies. But that is not the case. So that is where the first problem is. So the diagnosis of our today's discussion, going forward, the government which comes into power, say in 2016, I know there will be a different government. There's not going to be a PF. I'm just saying. We should demand as Zambian people that professionals should be sent to these embassies. People who are going to come with a view to do what an embassy is supposed to do. We can say all we want to say, but as long as the people who are coming to the embassies are party cadres, people who may not even have an idea of diplomatic way of doing things, I think we'll be just shooting in the dark moon, in my view. So I think this discussion should set itself to put some conditions. Every embassy in the world where they are Zambians, first and foremost, we should have a register and a phone number. I don't know if it's a website. Every embassy, we should know who is where and what are they doing. Their qualifications to be in there. We should be doing this. I hope HH comes into power. We will tell you this is what we want.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Charlie. I would just like to let all the Zambians that are in Germany that are listening know what the website is. It is www.zambiaembassy.de. You can go ahead and register there. There's a form that you would have to print out and I guess send to the German embassy. Please register. It is important in case of, you know, for the purpose of emergencies, normal exchange of information. It is relevant that you do that. The Embassy of the Republic of Zambia in the USA is on Facebook. Go ahead and like those pages.
Have we lost Twambo again?
Connection problems.
It's okay. A connection problem. She's here. I think she's going to drop. That's the way it is going. Well, Nathan, Twambo is making me hot again. some of these things makes us hot. You never know. But I think the idea, Nathan, of our embassies being some political offices, I think this also has contributed to the, I don't know if it's called it low morale or it's own use, it's own credibility. So we are going to have 1 in 10, like the, you have the embassy, the ambassador in the U.S. who is very proactive. And later on, we are going to have someone who is just sleeping in the office, you know? So I don't know. But we, in my view, we have to set the agenda that said.
Yeah, we need to. We're thankful to God in the States that this turnaround of things with the new members, with the new ambassador, new staff, with the change of government, is it 2 or 3 years ago? We've really been engaged. There is a lot of activity going on. Matilda can bear witness, C and Titus, Zebron, some of the things that we are doing here. But, you know, Roger, this issue of embassies, you can tell I'm very, very skeptical about me saying what I have to say. I think maybe it's just the way I think now. Let me use local language. Roger, na tukula. And you see, the thinking for me is totally different, my friend. Like you and I talk behind the scenes, Matilda, Zebron, Titus, I mean, everybody. Let's meet each other halfway. That's what I'll say. I think also we have got, it came from Kaunda time of too much dependency on the Boma, on the government, expecting too much from the government. In my opinion, I would say have a cordial relationship with the embassy staff. Please don't expect 90% of your problems for them to solve. I mean, get some insurance. Get yourself together. If they want you registered, register with them. I mean, get your stuff in order. That's what I'm going to say. For the embassy staff, I would say, I think for a country like Zambia, let it be 30% or 40% political, 60% more development or investment-oriented.
Yes.
That's what I would say. But some of these embassies we have, like Twambo is saying, why are you having embassies all over the place in a continent? Europe is like copper belt. That's the way I would put it. You see? You can easily go to Rwanda, Mufurira, Ndola, all those things like that. I mean, for the purposes of the budget and cost saving, we are using the word taxpayers here, just minimize. You know, have 2 or 3 in key countries. I mean, let it not be used as a Zebron. Let it not be used as something to create jobs for party faithfuls. Those are 1940-something politics. We are in the 21st century now. Let it be more active. It should be purposeful. It should be, why are you opening an embassy in wherever you are opening an embassy, okay? We have an embassy now in Malaysia, South Korea, and all those places. Is it economically viable? Like you said, Roger, what's the word you used? How is it helping with the development towards Zambia? Don't just, this is not just for the PF. This is the whole, all politicians and our government, our political leaders. Why are you opening embassies wherever you are opening them? For example, my last point, France has been opened and closed. You remember that? I think the UNIT government closed it, and MD came into power. They opened it, they closed it again, and make up your mind what you want to do.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Nkama. I'm going to go ahead and end this show, Diaspora and Truth. Thank you so much for everybody that tuned in. I appreciate your contributions. I'm hoping that we can do as we said we would do, get some members of the Zambian embassies. I will try and get somebody from the Zambian embassy here in Germany so we can speak to them and hear their opinions and hear what they have to say. So thank you so much for tuning into Diaspora and Truth. My name is Tomboka Pilikisha. Please stay tuned for the next show we have with Mr. Charlie, and we're going to be talking about the different situations going on in Zambia, current affairs going on around the world. So thank you so much.
Why is it illegal to talk about presidents such as health? Why is it illegal? I think we are going to talk about that. Thank you very much, Twambo, for another discussion which was making me hot here. But yeah, we are appreciate every. My brother, I've got this number here, but I've forgotten your name. I haven't forgotten the name. I'm thinking. Anyway, good morning. 412-5167. Good morning. 412-5167. Good morning.
Is it Balukuku?
No. This is Titus, your buddy. What is his name? Brother. Okay, he'll come in. He'll come in as we speak. A lot of things to talk about. So that on the embassy, Nathan, I think we've hit that one. It should not be a hit and miss situation, Nathan, where we have a good ambassador who comes or there's a bad ambassador. I think things should be very, very standard. And the new ambassador who is there is setting a new standard. When we shouldn't expect it to be different. Like I was saying when we had Dr. Nevas Mumba here, it was very, very different. He was able to be part of, he came forward, you know, looking for us. And we were happy to be part of the embassy community. So what the new ambassador is doing in America, I think we should be pushing. We should be very proactive in every country, Nathan. We can set up this time in every country to find where the embassies are, so that I think they do what they are supposed to be doing. Okay, I'll try this number again, 412, area code 412-5167. Good morning. You come in as we go. A lot of news from Zambia. There is a picture, a very disturbing picture of our president and the state is in. And I have Nathan here about how many. I'm going to tell you, just give me 1 second. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Police warn and caution. Another journalist, okay? Police have warned and cautioned Hot FM news editor Collins Kabwe for publishing false news with intent to cause fear and alarm under Section 57 of the laws of Zambia. Kabwe had been summoned to the police for questioning, but opted to remain silent, eventually leading the police to warn and caution him. The charge relates to Hot FM breakfast show on 27th May, in which President Sata's health was discussed. Man in court over false news. Michael Achibwe of Livala South Township in Lusaka has appeared in court on one account of publication of false news with intent to cause fear and alarm to the public. On 28th May 2014, Achume apparently claimed that President Sata would die by 30th May 2014. He has pleaded not guilty. UPND cadre arrested. Police have arrested three opposition UPND cadres. George Chombela State was charged with publication of false news and allegedly engaged in a door-to-door campaign in Munali, Lusaka, to ask people to vote for UPND President Hakainde Hichilema in a presidential by-election imminent by the death of Mr. Sata. UPND chairman warned and cautioned. Police have warned and cautioned UPND Copperbelt chairman Elisha Mtambo for saying that President Sata is sick and that the UPND will form government after the subsequent presidency by-election, responded by the watchdog. Police ban radio from hosting HH. Okay, so that on and on and on. My question to the members of the panel this morning here, should it be illegal, Nathan, to talk about the health of our president?
Only in Zambia. let me start. You know, it's sad that we, the Zambian people, pay taxpayers to the Zambian president. We pay his health, mm-hmm. and we don't even know what his health looks like. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, because there have been pictures that have been circulating on the internet. I don't know if you guys have been, like, on Facebook and WhatsApp, but there's been a picture of Michael Sata kind of like on the news that has been circulating, and you can tell that he's in his eyes and here, the man is really in bad shape. You can really tell that the man is really in bad shape. And those pictures have been circulating on the internet. And there's a lot of people that say in Zambia, they even say that, you know, we last saw the president on African Freedom Day, when he gave a statement. Since then, they haven't seen Mr. Sata. And then now they just saw the picture circulating, of which, you know, whether the president is health or not, he should be out there. You know what I'm saying? If Obama has gone into, like, people don't see Obama for a couple of weeks, so start complaining, where is he? You know what I'm saying? He's the leader of the nation. Okay. And everyone looks up to the leader. So if Mr. Sata has disappeared for a long time, people start wondering, where is he? You know what I'm saying? And that's when all these speculations is. And then as a citizen, someone who pays taxpayers for the health of the president and everything, they should be free to discuss the health of the president. You know what I'm saying? I hate this. That's why we have to go back to the constitution or changing the constitution, like, oh, law, chakuti, describes that you have violated the laws of Zambia for, I don't know how people interpret their law, but to me, you know, that law, I don't think it's interpreted like that, like, oh, just for saying that the president is sick and, you know, it doesn't really look good, he may die any time. You have violated law, section, what, cap, shan. All the things should be scrapped and be redone in a new law that gives Zambian people, you know, freedom of speech, you know what I'm saying, to express how they feel about the president, his health, and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's only in Zambia. If you look at all this, that law, the way law, I mean, I know it was, you know, drafted by the Kaunda, whatever, and it refers us back to where, we, you know, we used to live in fear. Like, if you say anything, you know, you are gone. You know, so we live in a world where people should be free to express about, you know, their leader, because they pay the taxes. They work hard, they pay the taxes. I mean, I'm just saying that when a president is in bad shape, it doesn't look good. You know, it looks like he might die anytime. It shouldn't be illegal. It should be, you know, freedom of speech. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the guy is really in bad shape. That's for sure. You know, you better believe that the guy is in bad shape. I don't know. Even me, sometimes when I looked at these two pictures, I was like, I hope this guy, I mean, just he makes it to 2016. You know, I know he's not going to run again. You know, and those guys are in denial. They're like, oh, Sata, should run Sata. Because to them, they think, like, if Sata leaves that office, there's no other PAF established candidate who can really, you know what I'm saying, like, take over Sata. Because if you look at Sata built that PAF personally, on his own. You know, he was fighting way back on his own. But after Sata got that, whatever, there's no one who can identify. But if you look at people like HH, Nevis Mumba, those have established names, okay? They're recognized there. But if you look at the PAF, it's all the fighting that I've been having inside. So after Sata is gone, there's no PAF. So people are in denial. So all they want is, like, to wake him. But the guy is in bad shape. People are advising, like, you know, if I was an advisor to Sata, just take a leave. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes power is not as important as your life. You know, the guy is stressing over the economy, the what, and the guy, you can tell that he's really in bad shape. If I were the advisors, just take leave. You know, this power would take you to death. The guy, as he stressed about the country and everything, it's really, really taking a toll on his health. You know, so, I mean, he's really in bad shape. I've seen his recent pictures.
Gabriel, you know, I like the statement you are making when you say he's not going to run again. My brother, you forget, that's Africa. He can run again. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised that he's going to run again. The thing about this issue, Roger, is that it's very interesting. You know, on Tuesday, Wednesday, I attended a meeting. And the man, I have very great respect for the man who was speaking. Probably you know him, Dr. Mensah Otabio. He said, it's only to your detriment, I'm quoting him, he said, it's only to your detriment when a lion is approaching you and you say, it's only an antelope. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in that statement, Zebron and everybody. It is true. You see, look at President Sata's picture when he was Minister of Local Government and without portfolio and the way he looks now. It's not a secret that he's sick, okay? And for somebody to be arrested or put in jail for making a statement like that, I think it's...
This is true.
Come on. You are just trying to put fear and you know, if you're trying to discourage people to talk about the situation, there is a better way to do it than to, you know, to put them in jail or to put police on them. The truth of the matter is the president is sick. What we can do is to wish him well and look at the issue with realistically and with a lot of objectivity, okay? Like Zebrona said, there's nothing wrong with talking. He's a public figure. He's not just a public figure. He's the president of a nation.
We have already actually, if you really think about it, it's the property of the Zambian people. Presidency is a property of the Zambian people and the person who holds. One of the reasons Nathan people don't want to run for presidency, say in America, every little bit about you has to be known, whether you like it or not, whether it has anything to do with you being a president or not. Every little bit, where you've been, who you have talked to, every little bit of you, about you, will have to be in the public domain. And this is what has landed the people running away from a president. And therefore, if the Zambian people are showing interest, okay, some people it's political, they want to gain a political mileage out of it, but some people it is just sheer concern. The health of the presidency is cardinal to every Zambian, and it should be. Basimbe, I think now I got you know, my brother. Basimbe, good morning. Okay. And I tried the number 412, so if you, like you did, if you want to say something, please just press 1, and we'll let you come in. Titus, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, what is your say on this issue, Titus, where people now are lining up to court for saying something which seems to be true? If that picture was not doctored, the one we have seen online, has not been doctored, and it's the true reflection of how our president is looking today. Whether you saw Mr. Sata, as Nathan was saying when he was a minister of what, you don't need to have seen Mr. Sata before. Even the way he looks into that picture, which is online, it doesn't look good. Should be people lining up in court for saying our president doesn't look good?
I don't think so. I don't think they should be lining up in court. But politics is politics. Everybody will have an era of whatever it is. Sometimes, like people say, you should know that some people... There was some statement some time ago when they said that the president, selected people that are not supposed to go to state house and take pictures and stuff like that. There's also, I think, a reason why you heard that, you know. And again, it depends. The issue here is one has to come forward and acknowledge, maybe from the government perspective, that the president is sick. And then... otherwise, right now, you know, there's all this humming of like he's not really sick or whatever. They're not confirming. So
okay.
We have a problem.
That is fair enough. No. Suppose our president is not well, Zebron, as we have seen. What should we be doing as a nation? What should we be doing as a nation? Members of the diaspora included. What preparation should we be making psychologically in our own lives, but more importantly as a nation? Let's just brainstorm that. I talk about that, Zebron, just a little bit, and Nathan just a little bit. What should we be doing at this stage? Looking at the head of state is in this state. What should we be doing? That's my question to you, Zebron.
Roger, we've been there before. So, it's sad that, last time we experienced this, once I was sick, you know, Sarah didn't really look sick. He would know that he was sick and everything, but we didn't really expect it from Sarah coming in, because it was just like, oh, Sarah is dead. Oh, he went whatever, he had a heart attack or whatever during whatever, he was flown to India, boom, he's dead. You know, so we were all in denial, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, that stage where, you know, everyone was kind of confused. You know, a lot of people think it was a joke, but it was something like that. So everyone was like confused and everything. We didn't know. I mean, for Chiruwa, at least he died when he was out of power. So it was just like that. But for Sada, you know what I'm saying? For Sada, this is psychologically scaring for people. You know, they know that, oh, our president again is going to die. You know what I'm saying? So it's not something that you don't even have, someone has to come to your door to say, oh, Sada is dying. You know, you know that the man is sick. So in my view, you know what I'm saying, people should be ready that our president could be gone any time from now. So for the opposition parties, I mean, they should just take it easy. They shouldn't force this issue, because you cannot tell when someone is going to die or not. But we know that the president is going to die. I mean, we know, not for that statement. We know that the president is in bad shape, you know. He may be there until 2016. He may die and everything, but I don't want to use the word die, but, you know, he may be gone anytime. But, you know, we should just be psychologically ready. If anything happens, you know, there's a constitution that says maybe the vice president takes over for, 90 days until another elections are in. And so people should just prepare, just anything can happen, you know, because we are not God, we don't hold his life, so he may be there until 2016, or, you know, anything can happen. So we should prepare ourselves psychologically, you know what I'm saying? If anything happens, we should just be ready. So the opposition, they should be ready, just in case, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if anything happens, but you shouldn't really, the opposition like HH and the MMD and everything shouldn't really bank like, oh, I hope this guy dies quick so I can get the power. You know, that you'd be looked at as if like you're just trying to wish him bad luck. So just take it easy. Wish him good luck. You know, show some kind of empathy, you know, to get the trust of the people. Because as opposition, you don't want to be on their side like, oh, this guy is dying. That's a bad marketing policy, campaign policy for the opposition. You just like try to wish him well, so that if anything happens, you know, you are wishing well for the president, because he's still the head of state. No matter whether we like it or whether we like him or not, he's still our leader. You know what I'm saying? So try to wish him well, so that at least he finishes the whatever. But if anything happens, you know, just opposition should be ready. They should be ready, like from day one. Like, oh, if anything happens today, we have this guy. He's gonna be whatever. So they should be psychologically ready. And even for us, we should just like be ready. If anything happens, we should, you know, at least, you know, we saw it coming at least, so we shouldn't be that heartbroken, you know.
Well said, and I think in Nathan, a lot of since the PF came into power, there's been a lot of discontent in the nation, a lot of discontent. Let's just agree to that. Now, as we see the president in this shape, how should what should our response be? Like Zebron is saying, if we saw the HHs of this world, the UPND, the MMD celebrating, how should we translate? How should we translate that? That is just number one. But number two, even with the discontent the PF has brought to the nation, you are a man of God, Nathan. What should be our prayer be to this man and to his family? Remember, he's a father, he's a grandfather, he's an uncle to a lot of people. So what should our response be to the state of our president?
Very good point, Roger. And I remember I responded to one post on Facebook about a month ago. I don't know whether it was Zambian Forum or Zambian People's Pact, to do with this same issue of people like, you know, wishing the president ill or to die and things like that. I said, come on, people, okay? Let's just be human beings here. Forget about him being a president or whatever he is. This man is a husband to somebody. This man is a father to people. This man is a grandfather, is a father-in-law, is somebody looks at him with value and they say, that's Uncle Michael, that's Grandpa Michael. Look, without politics put aside. You cannot wish somebody ill to die. That's why I'm not agreeing with the HHS whether they wished him to die. Anybody wishing the president to die, that's not acceptable. You can't. Can you imagine somebody walking into your mother's or your father's hospital bed and says, "For anything I met one, I go kuisa kuchipatara." Can you imagine that? That's basically happening. You cannot do. You cannot take a position like that. It's unacceptable. In any culture, Chinese, American, Australian, that's not a human face. Number two, as a servant of God, I would say we need to pray for our president. Our God is a God answering prayer. The man can be healed totally and completely and be restored and continue to rule the country with a strong body, good health, sober mind, and run his term of office and be subjected to an election in 2016. Let's not speak like we just, no, let's not display the hatred we are seeing in America from certain circles about Obama, where they just oppose anything he says or suggests just because of his ethnicity. We cannot do that. Come on, people. We are Africans, and we are known for having a heart. A human being is a human being. I've got my own position and my own view about PF politics. But when it comes to the president's sickness, we can't afford to stoop so low. We can't. There, I'm going to differ with anybody.
Okay, I think well said on that. Let's look at other things which are happening in Zambia. Both ways, anyway, on this debate, Nathan, both ways could be wrong. Those in the opposition who seem to be celebrating because of the sickness of the president are very, very wrong. Government response to this situation is just as wrong. They are not helping the matters. I know in North America where we are here, be it a senator or be what, if the diagnosis is that he's got cancer, the president has got cancer, that will be headlines and people will talk about it. If the diagnosis is that the president may even die, that will be headline. They'll tell the people. It prepares the minds of the people. So suppressing the people talking about this is not helping the situation back home. Put it there in public. Put it there. Let everyone begin to prepare for good and for worse. That is our say on that. Some other news. Let's talk about good news, Nathan. This is good news, Zebron. I think. Nawasimbe here. I think this is good news. Supermarkets to sell more local products, Nathan. Government intends to start inspecting supermarkets to ensure that they stock local products. The aim is to support local manufacturing industries by minimizing imports wherever possible. Commerce, Trade and Industry Deputy Minister Mao Sampa told the Zambia Association of Manufacturers, according to the Lusaka Times. Good news or bad news, Zebron?
I think more local products, I missed that one. You said they've been inspecting, right? Like it's inspecting more local products?
Yes. Government intends to start inspecting supermarkets to ensure that they stock products. they stock local products.
Okay, so for me, forgive me, but to me, it's just to inspect it. I mean, to me, I look at it as like kind of like politics for me, because I think that we know that a lot of products that we eat in Zambia come from South Africa. You know, if you go to Soweto there, you see a lot of tomatoes, like a bunch of them from South Africa, you know, apples and stuff like that. Now, whether you think, as you were saying the other day, you know, we had a thing about honey and people producing honey. They ship it here for packaging and everything. For me, the government, the thing you can do right now is not to inspect that there's more whatever. But, you know, to invest into the farmers. How much have they invested into the farmers? Make sure that the farmers produce more local products for people to eat. Because if you say, oh, ShopRite, we have to make sure that you are buying a lot of local products. But if ShopRite goes and buy local products, there's only half tin of something. Walmart just needs like 10. Then, you know, Walmart would be like, oh, okay. Because if you have to look like, like ShopRite and stuff like that. Those people buy stuff in bulk, and they buy it, like, some of them, maybe, like, every 2 or 3 days, they have to be shipped like that. So the kind of farming that South Africa has, where we get most of our products, and Zambia, are kind of different. You know what I'm saying? Like, here, a lot of local products are not, I mean, local guys here are not helped by the government. And if you look at all these farmers with the way laws are made in Zambia, most of it is pretty much like depends on the government to help them from one season to the other. You know what I'm saying? It's not by the service. The new farmers that we got from Zimbabwe, pretty much if you look at
let's
it.
Let's go to UK. That's a very good point you bring, and I'll tell you why. Let's go to UK. UK, good morning.
Well, good morning. My name is Margaret Buta. I want, it's okay. I'm going to have an interview with Nathan soon, so I was just calling in for that particular interview. But I have been listening, and it's going to be on in 30 minutes' time. So I'll drop
correct.
In 30 minutes' time.
That's correct. You can stay with us or make some... you know, some contribution if you want, but we are expecting your interview, yes, with...
All right. Okay, that will be in 30 minutes' time, so please carry on with your interview, and looking forward to our interview in half an hour. All right, thank you.
Thank you, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, you're welcome. Good point, Zebron. Shops are there for business, and you cannot determine what they are going to sell there or not sell there. It shouldn't be government job to do that. If they want more local products, should be competitive. Should be showing signs of life when they put into the store. So you cannot force the people. To sell products which might end up like you said, Zebro, not selling in the stores.
No. We live in the free market economy. You know what I'm saying? Just like here in the US, and people say no, Americans should be buying only American made products. Like, oh, okay. If you say Americans should be buying only American made products, then if Americans buy products and ship them to China or Brazil and everything, even those guys can say Brazilians should be only buying only Brazilian-made products. That means
playing
the market. Just create competition. You cannot say only you guys should only be buying something if it's made in Canada or something, don't buy it. You cannot force people to do that. All you got to do is like create competition. Make sure that your product is out there, available, it's of high quality, and it's affordable to buy, so people can select. You know, because right now we live in this global market. We live in a free market economy where people should be able to choose what they want to buy depending on their budget. So when Zambia say, oh, okay, this product comes to South Africa, they spend fuel and cost to bring it to Zambia to sell it, and then there's one other product that comes from Monze, which is like closer from Monze to Lusaka. So the product from Monze should be cheaper because they spend less fuel to bring it over here. But if you see like, oh, the mother product costs $20 and the product that comes from South Africa, they pay tax on it and it reaches Zambia and it costs $15. Someone is going to definitely go for the product that is $15 because they want to sell the $5 just for example. But you have to know why is it that way, because, oh, the taxes are high probably for Zambian farmers. There's so much politics in it. They have to pay this and that and this and that. So for them to get their profit, they have to hike up their products. So it's all kind of politics, everything. But you know what I'm saying? It comes down to what are you doing to help the farmers check out their products out there and then help compete with other international products. You know, you can't just say, oh, sell more local products. You can't force people like that. You're messing up the market. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
It is the truth. Nothing but the truth. So You cannot be forcing. You have to put in the the local product, even if they don't meet the standards. And you know, Zebron, this is one thing I think which surprises me. When you go in ShopRite, yes, the stuff which is there are imported stuff are from South Africa. My question, my question is, why can't you go there, look at that product, the way it is presented, and ask yourself, how can we make our product better than this one, which is in
exactly.
ShopRite, so that we can beat it. You know,
so
that we can beat this this product, other than having government to tell me what I should buy or what I should not buy.
Exactly. You know, and ShopRite has been there for a very long time. And if we were smart, you know what I'm saying? Because ShopRite, ShopRite, Supreme Furniture, all those, they came for tax-free incentives when they came to Zambia. You know, they were not paying any taxes. So they ripped off their money. And then after that, maybe they're told to pay some little taxes. They still saw that there was no competition. So why not stay? You know what I'm saying? You know, so why not stay? So they knew that, you know, there's no competition around here. You know what I'm saying? And that so many Zambians eat, they do whatever. And it's sad that, you know, even with Zambians, a lot of money and everything, we cannot really bring any competition to Zambian-made stuff. You know what I'm saying? Look at Walmart. Walmart is an American product, and it's all global. You know what I'm saying? Even ShopRite, let me show the guy. Even in China and everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we could have thought, like, oh, okay, let's just bring something. Well, you know, something. You know what I'm saying? Like something of Zambian, you know. But for us, you know, and you know what I'm saying? Just forgive me. You know what I'm saying? Even the kind of, like, a, you know, when people say, oh, Zambia's developed. Like, oh, really? Yeah. What does Zambia develop? Oh, if you come to Zambia, you find a lot of malls. Zambia's developed malls with escalators. Like, you know why Zambia's not getting a lot of malls and no schools, no hospitals, but just malls? Because they just want to keep ripping money out of you, out of your pocket.
Yes.
You know, if you look at Zambia, the only thing that has developed, they're just building malls after malls, because they want you to go and spend. They want you to go and spend so they can get the money and get out, you know. It's not like UTH has they've increased, you know, with almost built around. UTH is still in the same shape. You know what I'm saying? It's still the same.
It's still the same. I don't know if you have...
Yunza is still the same. There's still riots at Yunza. You know what I'm saying? And you're telling me that Zambia has developed. No, it has not developed. They're just building more structures to get money out of your own pocket, you know.
I don't know if you have seen... you are part of the group. I think I invited you to... invest into Zambia district. There is one picture there for Zambezi, town center for Zambezi. Our country, even if you are my friend on Facebook, I think I even posted it on my page, Zambezi as a district. And then you have Lusaka, and what you have just said, Zebron, here is a statement, another shopping mall in Lusaka. Here we go, and I'll read it. Is it fired? Sally is planning to build a new shopping mall opposite the National Hero Stadium in Lusaka on Great North Road. Sally, who is based in Lebanon, is in the process of buying off the necessary properties, with 10 houses having been bought so far, allegedly at prices above their market value, reported the Daily Mail. So this man is buying all this property, and now they are going to have another more. And then the Lusaka people are going to tell us there is a lot of development happening
because of
the malls, what is happening. But the pictures we are getting, Nathan, from the district does not tell me we have even a place in Zambia where there are more than 5 malls, modern shopping malls. The picture in the district, what we are getting, is not even close. Is not even close to that. So, what kind of development are you talking about? Zebron is saying here. It is sad, Zebron. It is very, very sad.
Yeah, and you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then and even the Minister of Lands and everything that even distribute this land. If you look at way back, you know, I mean, I live in Overland Park here, and you know, it's more like a suburb, you know. So I go out a lot, you know what I'm saying? I do a lot of stuff, and then I like the way this place is. Like this place, like Overland Park, Johnson County, it's one of the most developing counties, actually, in the United States. So each time we go around to do a lot of stuff, there's so much to do here. If you go here, there's like a park. Like yesterday I was playing soccer. There's like a big area with about maybe 10 soccer fields where they held tournaments. There's like, if you travel on the other side, there's like a soccer fields for young teens. There's like a play park, there's parks and everything. But if you look at Lusaka, there's no land for play. Every land that someone sees, it's a house. Everyone, you know, when I used to grow up in Zambia, we used to go to the bush. You know, we used to have a play, like some place where we could play around. You know, we'd go and play soccer in Mumpanga near the church. We'll go and get Fidoti, we'll go near the rail line and everything. Just do some kind of activities, run and everything. But now if I go back to my area, all that land, they're just nothing but houses. So even the play park, there's no play park, there's no recreation activity areas. All the areas in Zambia is just being given to either bars, malls, or houses. You know what I'm saying? So even the kids that are growing up, even the activities for the kids, it's all been taken away, you know. And even the land distribution, it's sad. It's sad that all that has been taken away from the kids, because when everyone sees a place, for them it's a house. I couldn't have been paying $15,000 a month more rent. That's the mindset, chap. You don't even look at, oh, let's leave this place here for kids to play around. Because if kids don't, you know, they don't, you know, you don't have to go to school to play around. You need to have a space in the area, more like just like a park for people to hang around. There's something. But right now, all the space that is there, someone will pay someone more money to sell that park so they can build houses. So with all the corruption, there's no more space right now for people to you know, for recreational spaces. It's more like houses than houses. More. Why can't the government say, okay, we are done with malls now? If you want to invest into medicine or invest into hospitals. Go and put money into UTH. We'll give you money, you know. Oh, go and finish the University of Zambia. Oh, go build another university. It's just nothing but packs, malls. Because they know that once they put malls, they buy all those houses and create malls and then bring all my Brazilian, I'm a shine, Zambia will be like, oh, my God, look what they have. They want to go and now spend all their paychecks. You know what I'm saying? To look as if like they're on top of the world, which is sad. You know what I'm saying? Which is sad. So,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's not development. It's more like just someone ripping off the money. All the money that they're spending on those 10 houses, that guy is going to get that money back very soon. He's going to get it all.
Very soon. Very soon. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That is, I don't know if it is a sad story, but you listen to Zambia Block Talk Radio and you come from somewhere. In Zambia, pay attention, a little bit of attention to where you come from. I come from my home village is in Kasempa, and I've made it. If I can, Zebron, to make it a annual pilgrimage, those who fly to Zambia on yearly basis. And you end up just visiting Lusaka, you are just as bad as the people, I think, who are just creating malls. Make it a holy pilgrimage, if you like, to visit your local town, Mufurira, from Furira, from Kitwe, but even your local village. My thinking, Zebron, is that, say for instance, I'll go to Kasempa to visit, you know. I'll probably spend about the two nights I'll spend in Kasempa, I'll probably spend $200 in there. And if every one of the people who belong to Kasempa, who come to Kasempa, I'm going to be challenging, if I have an opportunity to speak to the council there, to begin to target their own people who come from that area. The people who come from Shangombo, they have people who come from that area who are living in diaspora, who are living in Lusaka. Let's begin to make an effort to invite our own people to come and be part of development in some of these rural districts. As we have heard, Lusaka is taking care of itself. A lot of malls are being built. But it will take again, Zebron, you and I, to develop where we come from. Personally, we have to make some personal, make it a personal project to invite in, to invest in our local districts, which are dying, our local towns, which are dying. That is probably my view. Maybe Zebron, how we can help this situation?
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of, I come from Chama, you know, like it's a very much smaller town, you know. There ain't a lot of stuff where I come from, like where my parents come from, you know. It's you know, everything that has to be done, people have to travel to Lundazi, you know. They have to get on a gravel road to go to Lundazi to get most of the stuff done, because Chama, you know, Paboma, there isn't a lot of stuff, you know. So, you know, each time I had Chama
at one point way back. Zebron would be happy to know. We were going right in rural districts of Zambia, and we were talking to the government officials, those who were responsible for running those districts. And we brought a gentleman from Chama. They gave us... Yes. A council secretary came from Chama. Things you can do. How much land in Chama? He told us there is no tarred road in Chama, which is now part of Mutinga. From what I understand, it's now moved to part of Mutinga. To be more practical, Zebron, in my view, let's start. Where you are in Missouri. Try to find other people who are in Chama. If you have to make a phone call, let's get some pictures. Let's show the world. This is where I come from. This is Chama. Don't let people just know, oh, there is a town called Chama. I think, as the saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. Let's put up this. I hope you can make that, maybe even post it on invest on Zambia Rural District. Go to Chama, Zebron. That will be your challenge in this week, to find someone who can get you pictures from Chama. And we can put them on. But these are very, very good areas where people should be going to invest. Yourself, next time you're in Zambia, make a trip to Chama. Go and spend $100 in that town. And another one goes, we may just begin that change. Again, we are reaching 50 years of independence. To see this disparity where others are building malls whenever they like, and others, they cannot even think of a mall, they don't even have a proper schools, let alone think of a mall, it is rather unfortunate. Nathan, if you are on and there is someone who is indicating they want to speak, for some reason, my Block Talk radio screen has gone away. It is showing me the line, but I'm able to speak. Please come in or bring someone in, and then we can move from there.
Namunji wants to say something, I believe. So,
hello.
I know.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Namunji, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. What is in your mind this morning?
No, it's very interesting what just the brother Zebra was saying. I thought I was the only one I thought I was weird, because over the past years, I've been very concerned the massive malls which are being built in Zambia, especially in Lusaka particular. My issue is those malls, they are not even benefiting the middle-class people. They are benefiting just the wealth. How many people go to those malls and spend money? It's only the wealth people of Zambia, because the things they are very expensive. And these investors, why are they so concentrating so much in the capital city in Lusaka? Like you are saying, there are a lot of rural areas, like you, whether it's Eastern, Western, Southern province, which needs much development where schools and hospitals are concerned, maternity for mothers, for delivery, and for the children. But it's like this investment of the malls, and it's so sad that people are so proud, like when they come back from home here, they're like, oh, Zambia is doing well. They are all what they talk about is malls. They are not talking about, like, clinics being built, schools being built, something being invested in the children, the underprivileged people, the single mothers, the kids with disabilities, all those things. Nobody's talking about that. Oh, what they talk is about the mall, there's KFC now, you can even eat McDonald's now. That's the only development we hear. We don't hear about education. We don't hear about hospitals being built. So there's really a problem. It's so interesting that you are from Kasempa. I'm originally from Western Province, but my parents migrated to Kaoma, to Kalumange. So Kalumange is near Kasempa, actually. I speak a little bit of Kaonde, actually. So places like that,
I may send you a proposal after the show.
Yes. Yeah, so that was a very, 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 very good point about this mall. Well, I don't think at this point we really need it. It's good. It's a good idea to have malls, but I think the focus should also be in something which can help develop the country. The malls are not going to bring much development in the country if we are forgetting education and hospitals and healthcare.
Yes.
Those are
yes.
the most important yes. things.
Yes. Yes. Well said. Well said, Anna Munji, my lozy cousin. I've just found another brutal of mine here. Nathan, this is I think my screen has come up here. This problem will never go away. Malls and malls is a development, and it is good. But like Naimunji is saying, how many people from Kalingalinga are able to afford to go in the malls? Maybe there's a concentration of
said you guys are boasting about development in Zambia. Okay, even Kasempa is a far-fetched or Kalabo is a far-fetched issue. Just look at the difference between Lusaka and the Kawe Namunji, like light and day. Go south to Kafue. Look at the way Kafue. Why are you telling me about development? Mama Pangaka Amoni she development here.
And for me, you know, Nathan, me, my job, I travel. You know, when they tell me, like, oh, are you always at the airport? Me, I travel. You know, I travel a lot. So, and I've been at almost all the four corners of this country. I mean, I've seen this country from up, down, west, east. You know, I travel. And the good thing about America is that when they say development, they try to develop their entire country. It's not like, oh, Florida is nice, but if you go to even Mississippi, the poorest state, which is considered the poorest state in America, downtown Jackson is much better than Lusaka. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't compare America to Lusaka, but with most cities, you know what I'm saying? So this country, they develop all their country, like in all the places, even the smallest places, all the places. If you look at Zambia, we are pretty much like concentrating all our resources and malls on Lusaka. Kitwe, Livingstone, because that's why they know that, that's why they can get their money back. You know what I'm saying? If you look at maybe Chipata, there probably is not a lot in Chipata going on. Kawe is dead. My aunt just moved to Kawe. She's been transferred to work for Zesco. She's been telling me she moved from Dola. It's like, this town is dead. The only reason that I'm here is for work. The only thing that you see is like, Chipata stopped by, dropped people in Kawe. It's going to Kitwe. The other bus stopped by, people, whatever. It's moving, whatever. Just people. So, Kapiri, you know, most of these cities are down. So, me, what I'm saying is that, you know, it could be smart for government to start telling these investors, no more space for malls in Lusaka. If you want to invest, go to Kawe.
Yeah.
Go to Ndola, go to Chipata. Go, just spread distribution. Don't let these people take over and then tell you where they want to live and you're calling it development.
Want to talk about that.
You know. And we feel good, just to make a last point. Yeah. We should just let this. Yeah, to go to the mall and get on an escalator. We go to the mall and just get on an escalator and take pictures. They're like, we have escalators. And we think that's development.
Okay. We shall keep, Namunji. I've always, you know what, Ms. Namunji? I've always thought you come from Nakonde. I don't know why.
No, maybe because of my name. People, they think I'm Namunji.
Yeah, because of
I'm Namunji.
Yeah. Now Namunji.
Yeah,
so
I get that a lot. People confuse me for that because there's Namunji in Northern, I think, but I'm Namunji.
Namunji with a U.
I'm Namunji. M-U instead of M-O. I'm not Namunji. I'm Namunji.
Namunji, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And my last name is Kenteri. My last name is Isimwa, so I'm very much from Western Province.
What Isimwa? Very...
Sorry?
Read from Western
Province. Oh, Isimwa.
Province.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. Good. Good to have you. Good to have you here, sister, and share my pain. We shall continue. Yeah, if you have someone Namunji in Kalavo who can send us some pictures of the town center, we want.
I'll send you pictures. I have a lot of those pictures.
Oh, please do. I think I've added you to a. We have a Facebook group called Invest in Zambia Rural District, where we are posting a lot of pictures for Zambia, Zambia Rural District. And,
I can. I have pictures. I can post some there. Have some from Kalawa, some from Kalumwange, all those pictures. I can post them there.
Oh, man. That would be nice. Just post it and write, this is down center for Kalawa. This is, we want to steer something in us. You know, when you see a picture, Nathan, like the Zambezi picture, I don't know if you saw the town center for Zambezi. Ah, man. You know, you feel that pain. You feel that pain.
Yeah.
Your guest, Nathan Cordin, while you were away, Miss Botta, should be coming.
Yes, I sent her a text. I said she needed to drop and call back in 30 minutes' time, which we are getting close to. First, the Zambian Council, like the British politics. This is going to be interesting.
Uh-huh, go ahead. What are you talking about with who is Miss Botta and what are you going to be talking about?
We are going to talk about our experience, what the community's response was for an African in an affluent community, Roja, where she has become a counselor, affluent community.
So she's a council lady in the United Kingdom.
That's interesting.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Council lady, a Zambian in the United Kingdom, and we probably, without even being shy or shameful, we are going to ask, what can we benefit from you having that position there? What can Zambia get from there? I'm sure Nathan will ask her. That question. That will be in about 5-7 minutes. Okay, we're about 9. Yes, 3 minutes. It is showing. Okay, so I'm just going to report on some stuff very very quickly, and then we are going to drop to bring in the perspective to come here. 40 people are sick. 40 people have been admitted to Mwacha Sompela Health. Some names you might not even think it's a Zambian name. Mwacha Sompela Health demonstration zone in Chiwombo District for suspected poisoning of drinking munkoyo. So Mwacha Sompela, that is what is happening. First hospital in Chiengi. You'll be happy to know, Zebron, Chiengi District in Wapra Province has got the first hospital. So there is a rural town which has a hospital has been built. So I think we are thankful. We are thankful for that.
Oh,
the construction has taken
place,
reported the Daily Mail. Okay, so that is good news. The sad news is malaria is on the upswing in Zambia. We need to know that Zambia has been praised worldwide for being one of the first African countries to reach the rollback malaria target of reducing malaria mortality by more than 50% compared to 2000, several years before 2010 target. However, now it looks like malaria cases are increasing although the number of malaria cases decreased in 2000 and 2008. Next week, I'm not going to be on. Namunji, you want to know, I'll be close to Kasempa, Kaoma. I might give
you... Oh, have a safe trip. Good to know.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'll be 2 weeks.
Go spend $200 in Kasempa, please.
I will. I definitely will. I definitely will go and spend it. I'll go to the market, do something. And I'll encourage the local councils there to begin to attract more Kaondes to go back there. Spend if 100 Kaondes went every month, every year to go and spend, we can promote that economy. Maybe even the malls can start to follow the dollars. So I'm going to do that for the next 3 Saturdays. I may not be here. Nathan Show is coming up. My name is Roger. Until next week, with Nathan and